This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time, and we continue on with me building up Bo Nix every day until we see him play in the second round of the playoffs, the divisional round of the playoffs. Buy or sell, Bo Nix will be a top five quarterback after the playoffs are done. He will cement that fact because he's going to play so well. He leads this team maybe to a win in the divisional round, maybe to a win in the AFC championship. He does it even when maybe the defense is finally breaking down a bit. It's Bo Nix that rises to the top. And by the end of it all, Bo cements himself as a top five quarterback in the NFL. Michael, buy or sell.
Put all your assets into it. Put your fiat, put your gold, put your crypto into it.
Yes, I am 100% in on that. Buy, buy, buy. Get it right now because the stock is low. The stock is low. People don't believe in Bo.
I will own this company.
They think that he's... listen, I found an interesting stat this morning courtesy of ESPN. Bo Nix, best QBR of any quarterback in the NFL when trailing this year. When trailing, when making that comeback. Best QBR, 17 touchdowns and 2 interceptions when trailing.
He's got the spirit of John Elway.
He's got the clutch gene. But can he use that clutch gene and make that more of a consistent thing from first quarter to fourth? That's the question.
Maybe just screw with the scoreboard every now and then, make it look like the Broncos are behind and tell them not to watch the defense.
Just pretend you're behind. First possession against the Chargers, which I assume is going to be their opponent. Go and no huddle, hurry up. What do you think? No huddle, hurry up. Let's go. Let's freaking go. Come on.
Love it.
Come on. Snap the ball. Let's go.
I have no problem with that.
Wake up, Sean. Wake up. Wake me up before you go. Don't leave me hanging on like a yo-yo. FCS title game. Better than every college football playoff game this season, thus far. Buy or sell.
Is that opinion or fact? Because I believe that's a fact.
It is. Well, some could argue that the Ole Miss-Georgia game was pretty damn good.
Yeah, it was pretty damn good, but if you look at what happened... But no comparison.
No comparison.
The FCS championship was better.
That was an amazing football game. I hated the way it finished because I don't want to see blocked. I guess blocked field goals. I didn't want to see the missed extra point too. Like, come on, let's keep going. Let's get into double overtime. Let's get into triple overtime. But then I wouldn't have been able to watch the last 54 seconds of the Nuggets win over the Philadelphia 76ers last night. So I guess I'm kind of glad the way it worked out.
I like missed field goals and missed extra points because it's like...
Well, it was a blocked field
goal. Everybody's going to hate that one guy. If you block it, that's a little different.
Well, it was a blocked field goal.
Yeah, but like...
Was it a blocked extra point?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. Did he just miss it or was it blocked?
I thought he missed
it. It's a strange sequence. The whole thing was strange. Because Montana State could have ended... So, Illinois State could have ended it by kicking a game-winning field goal. Somewhat close. There still would have been time left, I guess. But instead, Montana State blocks it. They get a good enough return where they're set up in field goal range. You're getting close to it. But they take a sack right on that line of goal to gain to get to a field goal shot. So, they take a sack there. And then they have a bad snap and way out of field goal range at that point and then have to punt it away. So then we go to overtime. Illinois State scored quickly, but they missed the extra point. I cannot for the life of me remember if it was a blocked extra point or if you just missed it. I think it was blocked.
Well, you had that same kind of thing happen in the Ravens and Steelers game where the kickers had their issues.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
And I feel bad for them.
But then Montana State scores a touchdown because Illinois State blitzes. They blitz the house, and they leave the left side of the field wide open. And Montana State gets the touchdown, and then they kick the game-winning extra point. So the difference was the blocked extra point. Thank you, Go Pokes. It was a phenomenal game. It was a phenomenal game. Go Pokes says, Bo's going to have a great QBR and a playoff loss. Poor, poor Bo. Mm-mm-mm. Go Pokes, you're wrong, man.
Go Pokes, you're blocked.
He said, Chris, I'm all in on Bo. Sean scares me. Well, you know what scares me about Sean is all year we keep hearing, we're going to clean that up. 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 And then the offense pretty much looks the same. There's spurts in the game where they're rolling. Bo has some pretty miraculous plays, a couple of decent runs once in a while. But then it always comes back down to we got to clean some things up. We've got to clean some things up. But I think they're going to clean it up. I do. Why am I so confident, Michael? I don't know. But I'm very confident that Bo is going to show.
You believe that Bo is going to show?
Bo is going to show. The overdog, Bo, is going to show.
I won't say no. I think it's a go. It's going to be a show. For show.
Don't go to bad parts of town and pick up a... All right. 11 minutes after the hour, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I can't get in trouble. I did not say anything. You have no idea where I was going. You cannot predict where my mind was going.
Listen to the podcast. I will insert some words in there.
Don't do that. No. Plus, that's also a garden tool. So I am innocent on all accounts.
Shovel?
Buy or sell. This was from Go Pokes. Vance Joseph being a wanted man now with all these teams, the Giants, the Titans, the Raiders, and the Cardinals, it will be a distraction for this defense.
So,
I mean, this is natural. This happens. When you're a good team, your coordinators typically are interviewing for jobs. So it could be, but Vance has been down this road.
They've been hearing this all season. They've been hearing, hey, he's going to be a head coach of another team. They've been hearing it all season. They know it's probably coming.
Yeah, I don't think it's any surprise that he's getting looks. I don't think it's going to be a distraction. You know, they're doing it this week, so it's not going to be like it's during game week or anything. Yeah, man, he's been down this road. You know, he was the defensive coordinator with the Dolphins in 2016. Then he gets a head coaching job, then back to the then back as a DC for the Cardinals. He's seasoned now. It's not like, you know, he's been down this road. He's been a head coach. He's dealt with that kind of stress. No, I believe in this guy. And I'll tell you what, man, if we were in a different world and the timing was different, I would love to see him as the head coach of the Broncos again with real weapons. I would, because he believes in Bo Nix. He loves Bo Nix. If Sean Payton, how old is Sean Payton?
He's a 64, I think.
So if Sean Payton was like 68 and this was his last year, I'd be like, man, this is a freaking Nico Medved Ali Farouk Manesh situation here for the Broncos. I would love to see it. But I'm obviously, Sean's been great for the Broncos, so I don't have. Is that a deeper conversation, though, that I'm giving it? No, it would never happen because Sean's earned his right to be the head coach until he retires. But it is a different timing conversation, right? It would be cool to have him back. Would he'd come back as a head coach someday, wouldn't he?
The stars aligned?
Yeah, because he came back as a DC.
New regime. He's got a new regime. I think the old regime had a lot of problems. I think he had a lot of problems as head coach. He learned from those problems as head coach. I think he'll make a fine head coach.
For him to swallow his pride and come back here is a really... It speaks to his character. It means that he 100% understands it's a business. Fans are going to boo and yell and ridicule, and media members are going to boo and yell and ridicule when you're not winning football games. And not making excuses, but he did have a lot of them. He didn't make them, but he had them. He should have. They didn't build the roster. It wasn't a good roster for him. And he was a rookie head coach, you know? But for him to acknowledge all that and be like, yeah, I'll come back there. knowing that that's going to be a big topic of conversation when he signed on the dotted line to take the job as DC, knowing that, and then sticking with it with Sean after the Miami game, you ain't going to get me to say much. Like, Vic Fangio, I respect as a DC. When they hired him as a head coach, that was one of those that I was instantly like, yeesh, he's what, 60 plus, and that was his first head coaching job? That was a red flag. On the other hand, Nathaniel Hackett, there were red flags there, but still, first-time head coach, are you willing to grow with this guy? Whatever. So, yeah. Go Pokes, are you worried yet? I'm doing my best to instill fear and angst. No, I'm not worried, man. I have this weird state of calmness about how this offense is going to respond. How Bo Nix is going to respond. I just have this strange feeling that we are going to, by the end of this, say that Bo Nix is a household name nationally. And he starts to become, that's how I'm very hyped right now, that he starts to become a face of the NFL because of his performance that will lead the Denver Broncos to the Super Bowl. Picks are on Friday.
Everybody knows that.
So we're not going to do anything yet. But listen, man, I'm 50-50 right now. I don't know where I'm going with the Broncos and whoever that team is. Obviously, we got to get there first. Chargers do concern me. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. 17 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. It was a big day for the Buffs as they announced, they made the official kind of introduction for their athletic director, Fernando Lovo. And we'll see what he's going to do, man. He said all the right things yesterday. But we'll see what Mark's takeaways are from the new athletic director. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Hall of Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hall Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back into the whole show. I am Brady Hull. That is Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my friend, Happy New Year to you, my man. Always always look forward to these conversations. Even though you put me off yesterday because you were a little busy talking to apparently people more important than me, I guess, right?
Well, it's my new boss.
Yeah. So. I guess that would... Okay, you get a pass on that one, Mark.
We've got a new athletic director. I'm sitting here at basketball practice right now. We got Utah coming to town tomorrow night, so a lot going on here in Buffland.
So I wanted to get your thoughts too. Obviously, a nice bounce back win for the Buffs on the basketball side of things. We'll talk about that in a moment. But new athletic director Fernando Lovo. Obviously, it was an outstanding press conference. I always say this about press conferences: nobody. I mean, everybody always kind of wins press conferences. Rarely do you see people lose them. But obviously, that was pretty darn good as press conferences go.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I said yesterday that, it's an old advertising line. You only get one chance to make a first impression, and he hit a home run yesterday. I mean, he's a dynamic guy. He and I met in the morning, and we did an interview that was released a little bit later on in the day, and so we spent some time together and got a chance to talk. And, he's 37 years old, which, by the way, it struck me when I was talking to him, thinking to myself, boy, he looks young. And then I realized I was 37 when I took the job here and started doing Buff games. And so after I told him that, he goes, really? And I said, yeah, take a good hard look. This is what's going to happen to you after 22 years, right?
Mark, come on. You're still, you're still out there wrestling bears and doing all that stuff,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. But no, he's a very polished gentleman, very accomplished. His resume is fantastic. I'm sure you've talked about that, all the places he's been and what he's done. And so you know, very, very impressed. And then we had a staff meeting today, and, you know, he got up and kind of addressed all of us that here working in the athletic department, and it was the same thing today. And so, you know, now he's got to get, you know, hit the ground running and tackle all the challenges that we have in college athletics right now. But, yeah, very impressed right out of the gate. So, yeah, good hire so far.
Yeah, what kind of – you know, I know you also caught up with him, you know, for kind of a one-on-one interview too.
Yep.
What's kind of maybe one or two things that really maybe blew you away a little bit, not just the age thing, but just but from some of the things he's said to you personally?
Well, you know, I don't know if I can specifically say one thing. Listen, we all know on the first day you're going to say, you know, everyone, like you just mentioned, everyone's going to say similar things. It's like I always joke, I could do an opening press conference for a new football coach. They all say exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to be hard. We're going to play hard. We're going to be physical. We're going to be smart. We're going to be disciplined. You know, they all say the same thing. So everyone says similar things. What I look more for in these circumstances, I watch how does a guy handle himself. He's obviously a very good communicator. He's very polished. And so I look for that. I watched. So then we had not only the interview that I did with them and then some personal time with him and then the press conference. And then I was at a social event with he and some boosters. And I watched, you know, I'm just watching the way that he kind of handles himself and the way he interacts and drifts between people and remembers names and those kind of things. Those are all very important skills you have to do that job. And so, you know, those were things I was watching yesterday, and that's what really impressed me. Anybody who has ever been an athletic director or you got a job where you're somewhat public, how you interact, what are your social skills like, what are your connecting skills like, and those are the things I was watching yesterday, and he does exceptionally well. You know, Rick George is very good at that, and is very good at that, and so that's why he was successful in this job. And so, you know, those are the things I was watching right away. Now we'll find out, you know, in the ensuing months here, about organizational skills, about fundraising skills, and all those kinds of things that are going to be hugely important for him.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. And isn't it fascinating for you, you know, who you followed this Buffs team, but you followed college sports for quite a while, and seeing how an athletic director's job has shifted, how it's changed. There's just more things on an athletic director's plate more than ever.
Well, you know, it's funny about it, brother. You think about it. And for any of your older listeners, you know, it was always a pretty, you know, you could pretty much assume what was going to happen. When an AD left, it was either the football coach or the basketball coach was going to move into the AD's position. And then that was they waited for a long, long time. And then a number of years ago, you saw people come more from, you know, marketing, and then it was fundraising. And now it's become a totally different deal with NIL, with all that's going on, all the media rights deals. You better be well-versed in those aspects of college athletics. It's not so much, you know, can you go out and diagram a play on the football field like the, you know, your ADs used to be involved in. That now it's totally different. And so you're right. That position has changed. The skill set needed has changed. And so it's a totally different world.
Moving on, Mark, you mentioned it on the Buff side of things, on the Hoops edition, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock against Utah. How big was that win over Arizona State, coming off of that loss that was frustrating for Buffs fans, for Ted Boyle, I know, even though we know the Bears are a good team, but still frustrating to bounce back and beat the Sun Devils 95-89 the other night?
Well, it was huge. And then the way in which they did it. First off, you do it on the road, right? No matter what, getting a road victory, in particular in conference play, is supremely important, in particular in the Big 12, where it's such a tough league. And, you know, if you can get, you know, they always say that what you want to do in any conference is you want to defend your home court and go 50-50 on the road. Well, that's an enormous challenge, obviously, in the Big 12. And so that was a game they had to have. They nearly let it slip away, but a young basketball team that made some gritty, tough, you know, physical plays down the stretch. And that's one thing. I'm out here practice right now, and you know, they had to talk to guys about that very thing. But they made some big-time plays down the stretch to secure that victory. And so, you know, you hope there's growth that comes from that. And I think that's, you know, they're hoping to see that, certainly against Utah coming up tomorrow night.
Utah's kind of, yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on Utah? I've just kind of glancing at their schedule, I haven't watched any Utah basketball at all. But what stands out to you about this team that the Buffs better be ready for?
Well, they've got a couple of very good guards. They're outstanding. One of the guys averaged about 20, 21 a game. And so they're very backcourt heavy. Their front court's a little bit light, at this point in time. And you know, when we were out there for football, I was talking with Bill Riley, their longtime play-by-play guy. I said, what are you expecting for basketball? He said, well, it's going to be a transitionary year. He said, I think we got a couple of guys in the backcourt be pretty good. And that's certainly the way it's turned out to be. And so that's going to be supremely important. So, you know, this game tomorrow night, a lot of pick-and-roll stuff, a lot of cutting to the basket. And so defensive rotation, defensive adhering to your defensive principles for Colorado are going to be huge. Pick-and-roll defense, those kind of things. And so that's going to be a big test, I think, coming up tomorrow night against Utah.
Well, yeah, you got to take care of business first against Utah, but then coming up on a couple days, a few days later, Texas Tech, that's going to be a big one.
Yeah. You got Mr. Moneybags coming to town, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're the ones spending all the money right now. Texas Tech spent over, what, $40-some million, their football team, and I think they're up around $8 or $9 million. They've got one guy in Toppin, who was an outstanding player last year for them, who is making more in terms of what they're paying him than, I think, the entire Colorado roster. So think about that for
insane.
A second.
Insane.
The kind of money they're spending. Well, look what they just did with the quarterback in Cincinnati, you know, that he just transferred and just inked his deal with Texas Tech here, what, yesterday or the day before, and they're paying him $5 million. And so Texas Tech, that's one of the more surprising things, I think, Brady, we found out in college athletics. We have found out the schools that really have resources. And I think one of the schools that nobody saw coming was Texas Tech. And they found a couple of billionaires that seem to want to bankroll this thing, and so they're spending money like crazy. They spent quite a bit of money on that basketball team.
It's fascinating when I see, you know, people getting online and saying, hey, you know, this certain program, they just don't have the resources to be able to keep these type of players. It all comes down to just what you said, getting lucky and finding those billionaires. That's your resources right there. How do you find billionaires that actually care whether your basketball team or football team wins a game?
Oh, exactly right. You know, I mean, look, you got the owner of the Utah Jazz is bankrolling BYU, right?
Yeah.
And I was talking with the coach, and I said, you know, I can't believe these guys will write a check for, you know, DeBanta, for example, the outstanding freshman for BYU on the basketball court. They're paying him $7 million. And this coach I was talking to looked at me and says, Mark, if you're a billionaire, a $7 billion, $7 million check is not that big a check to write. You know, in comparison. Now, for you and me and everyone listening, that's ridiculous money. We can't even comprehend it. But he made a good point. He said, you know, that's you and me writing a check for $700. And so those kind of guys, we're finding out there are a number of them around the country who they seem to get a kick out of being able to bankroll these programs. I don't know if it makes them feel special or they feel connected or what it is. But given some bragging rights, I'm not sure what it is. But, boy, there are some guys out there, and Texas Tech has got one right now.
Yeah, if you and I were to write a check like that, we might have to move things. Maybe don't cash that till Thursday. You know, maybe I got to move things around first. Just hang on to that for a second.
You better adjust that decimal point, by the way, a little bit, if you and I write a check.
Mark, I would like to interview one of these billionaire donors. Seriously, and just be like, why? Because I would like to know, like, what goes in? Because I know it's not that much when you're a billionaire, but I'm just curious because I've had so many texters like, I don't understand. They just want their team to win. Like, what is it about donating that big time, that big of money that makes them, you know, just kind of feel complete? I get it. It's coming from the right place most of the time, but it's just fascinating to me.
Well, look at the, help me out here. The number one quarterback came out last year for Michigan, Underwood.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that wrote that check is not even a Michigan grad, okay? But his wife was. And I talked to some of my buddies in Michigan. I'm like, explain that to them. And he said, well, the story goes that his wife said, you know, honey, I'd really like my football team to be really good. He's supposed to be a really good player, so maybe you could help us out here. And so he wrote the check.
Wow.
It's stunning. I'll keep this very anonymous, but there's another program that has got a guy that's running a lot of checks right now. And when I was talking to somebody from the school, I said, that guy's not connected to your institution, is he? And he said, no. But one of the assistant coaches was a buddy of his, and he started following the team, and then he wrote some checks. And then the buddy who was the assistant coach, he retired, but he kind of liked the university, and he kind of likes, you know, getting treated special and getting great seats and being on the team playing every once in a while. So he's a billionaire. He's writing checks for him. He gets a kick out of it. So I guess when you've got that kind of money, it gives you a chance to play. And so you find some place, you kind of get a kick out of being for a little while, you know, it's going to cost me a few million dollars if I've got, you know, if I've got $50 billion anyway, and I can spend $15, $20 million a year just for fun, I guess that's what you do. I mean, I know it's foreign to you and me and everyone listening, but apparently that's part of life when you're living in that tax bracket.
Yeah, I need different friends, because if I could find some billionaires that were just like, hey, I like Brady because he's cool, here's some money, that would be awesome, just for being cool.
Hey, listen, you and everyone listening has been thinking all along, you know, if one of these guys would just give me a million or two.
Right.
I mean, it's not much to them, but it would change my life. Yeah, we can never seem to find those kind of guys.
No, I'm still looking, Mark. I'm still looking. Yeah. If you find them, let me know.
I certainly will. And you can send them in.
Mark, appreciate you, man. Good luck on the call tomorrow night. We'll be tuning in. Are you a radio call or ESPN Plus tomorrow night for you?
No, we're on TV tomorrow night.
Okay.
So, yeah, Dallas up on ESPN Plus, and Scott and I will be there.
I love it, man. You do phenomenal.
By the way, we're going to have the athletic director. The new athletic director is going to join us for a few minutes. The producer just told me here a few minutes ago.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah.
I have to say, Mark, every time I have you on, I get people compliment, and they'll say, man, Mark just has a phenomenal voice. I love listening to him. It makes me sound like crap when you're on my show, by the way. I mean, I have a decent voice, but then you come on, and it's like, who's that little squeaky teenager interviewing Mark Johnson?
You know, here's the dang thing about it. I have nothing to do with it. I woke up one day and there it was. So it was. It's like somebody being 7 feet tall. You have nothing to do with it. The good Lord just blessed you in that regard. And so I always tell people it was either do what I'm doing right now or work the drive-through at McDonald's. One of the two. That's all I'm qualified for.
Well, you're also like 7 feet tall too, so you got that going too.
Well, I'm not big enough to be making millions in college athletics.
Mark, appreciate it, man. Looking forward to the call tomorrow night. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mike, if you were hired as a football coach, what's your opening line at a press conference? What's your opening line? What would you say?
Thanks.
That would be it.
Thanks for hiring me.
Because nobody else would.
I would do the speaking of bad endings to shows, I would do the Walking Dead line from Rick. We're gonna win.
That's what you do. I would do the opposite, just throw everybody off.
Sorry, like, guys, we're gonna suck.
You know,
this
when
year.
Coaches come on and they're like, we're gonna fight, like what Steve Adazio, you know, here's this ram horn and when we make a fist and these rams come together. I would just do the opposite. I'd be like, listen, guys, there's a good chance we don't win a game next year because it's 50-50 right now. But the AD was willing to spin the chamber and here I am. So let's get to work. That's what I would do. You think that would go over well with fans? Just go completely opposite. You know, I can't tell you we're going to fight hard because I don't have a roster yet. I don't know any of the guys. I don't know. We might be good. We might be terrible. That'd be refreshing. I don't think it would go over well.
No, it wouldn't.
Probably not. 37.
You would definitely be coaching at Division III.
Yeah. But it would be unique and it would make headlines. And people would be, there might be a billionaire. It's like, you know what? I like how honest he is. I like that guy. Here's $1 billion. Go build that roster. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Mike, how you doing? Feeling better? You feeling better, man?
I'm still awake.
Well, that's good. That's a plus. You know who's awake
Charles
now
Bronson.
With his mentions on the old X account? I don't even know if he has a Twitter account, but Illinois head basketball coach Brad Underwood. He was at a basketball clinic, and he said, quote, I had a young man on my team this year, individual workout, jump up, shoot three, 6'10", looked like the greatest player ever. You put nine other players with him, couldn't process. According to Sahil Mittal, his ex account, he posted that Brad Underwood was presumably talking about Kerry Booth, who is a former Illinois player, now Colorado State player. A couple things run through my brain here. Now, he didn't name him. He didn't name the player. He's using that player as an example of what he wasn't looking for on his roster at that time. So a lot of people are scorching him for, you know, saying he's a jerk and all this stuff for saying. Well, he didn't say his name. And a lot of coaches, Mike, I've interviewed a lot of coaches, and coaches use anonymous players to help make points to their current players.
So how do you know it's this player?
This is just what this guy is. And a bunch of my friends on the Colorado State beat are also retweeting and saying, you know, this is probably about Kerry Booth and blah, blah, blah.
Sounds like they're insulting Kerry Booth.
Maybe, but I did retweet it, and just going off of everybody else, and I just retweeted and said, Ali doesn't seem to be having the same problem or the same issue. Two things in my brain go this way. First off, I'm not scorching the guy. I'm just saying that I think Tad Boyle, for example, is a phenomenal coach. Did not get the same results that Ali Faroukmanesh and Nico Medved got from Nick Clifford. Wow, a lot of Neeks. Didn't get the same results. Tad Boyle didn't get the same results from Dalen Kuntz as Steve Smiley at UNC. It doesn't mean the coach is bad. It doesn't mean the player is bad. Sometimes they just don't, it just doesn't mesh. And that's with anything in life. You could go be a radio producer on a show, Michael, and you could be terrible at producing that show. But you get with a different radio host, and maybe you're a stud. I hope that day comes for you at some point. That would be awesome. But it doesn't, the connection doesn't always, it's just not always there. What?
I was going to say, what you should have done, right. You should have kept it anonymous, which was what the segment was going for.
Right,
like, hey,
yeah.
The coach kept it anonymous,
right,
then
no.
Brady kept it anonymous, and we would have been like, oh, ha, that's funny.
Yeah.
But you'd ruin the joke.
No, it wasn't a joke. I hope that, I think you have talent deep in there. I just, you know, it's going to take.
Ruin the joke.
Yeah, right. But there's a positive for this because I do think Ali Faroukmanesh is a really good player coach. He can get the best out of guys that other coaches might not be able to. Now, there's going to be other guys. How about John Tanjay? Tanjay was a pretty good player when he was with CSU. And then he went out into the wild world of the transfer portal and became a big-time college basketball player. So we could honestly turn that back to any program. So while I'll say this, I'm kind of being a little cheeky here. Ali doesn't seem to be having the same issue, but at the same time, I don't know that we want to sit here and say Brad Underwood is a jerk. He did not, at least according to the clips I've seen, he didn't specifically name Kerry Booth. But let's face it, some guys just don't work. You remember St. Thomas, who played for UNC, then he went on to play for USC. This is a guy at his stop before UNC was like, I didn't know if I wanted to play basketball anymore. He was in a different mental place. And then he goes to UNC and finds his joy for the game again, then goes to USC. So there is just, there's a lot of things that you can point to, because a lot of people like to rip Tad Boyle and say, wow, Nick Clifford was a first-round draft pick, and look what he's doing with the Kings, and he's probably going to be a big-time NBA player, maybe even, probably even bigger than David Roddy and what Isaiah Stevens is. He's already kind of there. I think it's fair to say he started several games this year for the Kings, and their GM talks about him like he's definitely a centerpiece that they're going to build around, which is really fun and really fascinating. But that's not, to me personally, like, I don't look at that and say Tad failed him, because Tad's had plenty of examples of great players that have gone on to the NBA, a lot of players that have gone on to the NBA. So to be fair here, ripping him apart for using a player that just didn't fit as a coaching learning tool for current players or at a clinic where he's talking to players and maybe potential Illinois players, I don't think it's worth crucifying the man. But at the same time, it's also worth acknowledging that while one coach failed to connect with a player, it's not necessarily a failure, I guess. It's not on the coach. It's not on the player. It's just not the right fit. Now, there are certainly cases where just a bad coach and can't seem to fit with anybody. I don't know if that's the case
or
with
bad
Brad
player.
Underwood. Yeah, sure.
I think you're absolutely right. This guy didn't mention the name. We don't know who the player is. It's not obvious. We're just assuming many people. It could be any player. It could be a guy from 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's not that big of a deal. Now, honestly, if Kerry's looking at social media and he sees that and knows it's about him, that kind of sucks. But it is what it is. Like I said, I've interviewed a lot of coaches on this show, and they've said similar things in the past, where I had one player that, you know, was just this way and that way. And then maybe he goes on to find success elsewhere, or it just didn't click. It's just what it is.
I mean, that's one reason why the transfer portal exists. If you don't like where you are, if you don't like the atmosphere, if it's not for you, then you can find a place that's for you.
I think people are overblowing it a little bit on what he said. Now, if he would have mentioned the player, I think we have a different conversation, but apparently he did not. 49 minutes after the hour, Michael, we're getting to what did we learn coming up next here on the program. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
What's happening in your community? Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
We did have a special day, Mike. We did. What did we learn today? Well, we learned there's something different about David Adelman's Denver Nuggets, maybe compared to Michael Malone's Denver Nuggets. No starters in this game last night against Philadelphia. Philadelphia had their guys. Other than Peyton Watson, none of your like real bench guys were in this game either. So this is a resilient team trying to prove a point. They're 2-2 since Joker's been out, you know, 1 week down and it's not terrible. The FCS championship game, way better than the CFP so far. I'm hopeful that we get some changes to that coming up on Thursday and Friday. Michael, what did you learn today, my friend?
I learned that Snoop Dogg is a little more versatile than I thought he was. Not the biggest fan of his. I did not watch the full broadcast. But, you know, good for him. Mm-hmm. Good for people who like him. Maybe more money in his pocket.
Yeah. I was entertained by the clip we played. And I'm told that the broadcast wasn't full of that. If he can pick his spots right, it could be a pretty entertaining thing. Just you also got to let Reggie Miller cook. You got to let Reggie go. You got to let him talk. You got to let him analyze the game. So, fun show today. Great guest. We had the Brock Wisney show. Love that dude. Rooting for that guy forever, especially on Thursday night as they get set to take on Idaho State. Mike Brohard was a lot of fun. He knows what hot, nasty speed is now. Michael's still confused by it. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, fantastic as always. And we're back, ready to go, do it all over again on a Wednesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.